good evening and welcome. You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 191, The Addams Family, hashtag cousin.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place on the cobwebs to find your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation, spooky and otherwise, featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From cackling discussions and movie reviews to interrogations of industry insiders, this show's mission is to send chills down your spine through our obsession of animation. So lay back in your casket, have Thing grab you something from the cauldron, and get ready to hang out with these animation crypt keepers, because it is time to unearth today's episode.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Morgan Stradling.
I'm Chelsea Robson.
And I'm Mason Smith.
And we are very excited today because we are joined by one of our diamond patrons, Annie. Welcome, Annie.
Hi. Woo! Oh.
Whoa, the elusive diamond level that every Rotoscopers or every Animation Addicts fan aspires to.
You know you want to be a part of it. All you have to do is go to rotoscopers.com/patron. And you can check out the perks. But one of the perks is that after being a patron for 3 months, you get to join us on an episode of the Animation Addicts Podcast. And since it is October, we decided that we are going to be doing the Roto Spooktacular. So we went and we did a Halloween-themed-esque movie. And so we are going to be doing the Addams Family, the 2019 animated film. And we're really excited to have you on board, Annie. So, Annie, just introduce yourself a little bit about you, how long you've been listening to the podcast.
Yeah. So, very excited to be here. I started listening to the podcast back in college. I was a film studies major in college, which is basically the unuseful parts of film studies. So history, theory, and criticism. I like to say unuseful parts because whenever somebody's like, so do you know how to work a camera? The answer is no, not very well. Oh. Not very well. I never really took, in theory, I know how to do it, but in practice, not so much. My only practical classes were in animation and production because producing. So my focus was on animation history, as well as the musical film and French language film. So very, very interesting stuff there. I don't speak French. I speak Norwegian, which is not helpful in anything at all. But yeah, what I got out of college was a greater understanding and love of film. Basically, it was just writing about film, talking about film, kind of how to dissect a film properly, the history of certain things, which I find endlessly fascinating. And I hope to be working on the festival circuit.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, no, I was interviewing for a job at a festival that is based in Austin before kind of everything closed down, and suddenly the festival was shut down. That was a bit of a bummer.
But so were you wanting to work on kind of like the marketing PR side or?
So programming. So deciding what gets into festivals.
Awesome.
So that's kind of been my focus throughout my professional career, has been more of a critical side as far as deciding what gets into certain things, certain levels of quality and entertainment, because I think entertainment is absolutely necessary, especially in more art house and independent films. If it's not entertaining, then it's more just an exercise and not a movie, in my opinion. But yeah, so it's been interesting.
So we are honored to have you on the podcast so we can get your insight on this film and from a very critical, you know, collegiate perspective.
We'll see.
You're classically trained, unlike us.
Yeah, we got to get that college learning up in here.
Yeah, well,
are you classically trained?
We'll see. I also happen to be a very big Addams Family fan from a very young age, which is why out of the list you guys gave me for the topic of this episode, I picked the Addams Family. Because my nickname as a child actually was Wednesday.
Wow.
Well, before we get to that, we are going to get to know you even a little more with our classic segment, Catchin' Fire. So, Chelsea, take it away.
Well, then, how about a quick round of Catchin' Fire?
Catchin' Fire? You mean me?
You're the only one with enough courage.
Are you ready?
Yes, I think I am.
Perfect. For everybody who is brand new, Catchin' Fire is a game that we play with all of our guests where we go through and we ask a series of rapid-fire questions. And she has just a moment to think about it and give us her answer as far as the answers to these, the most important questions that you could ever ask any animation fan. All right, here we go.
Great.
What is the very first animated movie you remember seeing?
Oh, God. First one, Land Before Time.
Ooh. Favorite cartoon growing up?
Land Before Time.
Favorite animated movie?
Tangled.
Nice.
Favorite animator / artist?
Mary Blair.
Classic animation or CGI?
Classic.
Favorite animation studio?
Oh, Walt Disney Animated Pictures.
Disney or Pixar?
Disney.
Laika or Studio Ghibli?
Studio Ghibli.
Songs or no songs?
Songs.
Heroes or villains?
Heroes.
What is your favorite animated dog?
Oh, gosh. Animated dog. Doug. I love Doug.
Nice. All right. Here is the most important and final question.
Ooh.
Which would you rather watch? Cinderella 2 or Return of Jafar?
Return of Jafar. Original cast. You can't beat original cast.
The classic.
For the most part.
Oh, 52 out of 52. Well done.
The classic.
Congratulations,
question.
Annie. You have passed Catchin' Fire.
Great.
We're not going to kick you from the call.
weren't a deal breaker.
You can sit with us.
You can sit with us. Oh, I love it.
Okay, so with that, let's jump into our main discussion.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice. Brav Bros. Good job.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together kooky, the Addams Family. Their house is a museum where people come to see them. They really are a scream, the Addams Family.
All right, so for our main discussion today, like we said, we are doing The Addams Family, which is the 2019 animated film. But before we do that, let's just give you a little backstory. This is a little very interesting. And now that we have our resident Addams Family expert, this will be even better to talk about a little bit about the history. But first, let's talk about the film and where this came from, who did it, who were the key players involved. Thank you to whoever just recently put this on. I pulled up the other page. The studio was MGM. The directors were Greg Tiernan and Conrad Vernon. The release date was October 11th, 2019, so nearly exactly 1 year ago today. The budget was a remarkable $24 million, and it did an estimated $203 million worldwide. So first off, when I see that budget in 2019, I am just blown away because this film did not look like a,
yeah.
I don't know, $24 million seems very low to me compared yeah. to, you know, you have 200.
Frozen 2 was $150 million.
Right, right. It just, they just balloon in their expenses. And so I don't even know how that was possible because it doesn't look like it. It looked just on par
they blew it all
with
on Snoop
everything
Dogg.
Else. Yeah, so that is probably true.
Yeah, right.
Which makes this even totally. More remarkable. But the animation I thought was great. So we will talk about that in a moment. But let's talk about the Addams Family as a series. And, you know, this is something that let's do it. Do the snaps.
Oh, there's no way we would do it in sync.
But that is one of the most iconic parts of the Addams Family. Is probably have one of, if you were to do a theme song bracket, like a March Madness style of top TV theme songs, the Addams Family would absolutely be on there and probably make it to the final four. Who knows? Depends on who it's up against. But it's just so classic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Of course, they had to include it in this film, as they always do. But just the Addams Family in general is pretty interesting because it initially was a comic strip.
From the 30s, I think, right?
Yeah, from the 30s and went until the Charles Addams' death in 1988. He was the creator. And it was just like a single pane or a single frame comic strip where, you know, it was just one gag, you know, sort of like the Far Side, I guess, if you will, you know, where it's just one. And then it turned into...
So it was basically the memes of the 30s.
In a way.
Oh, 30s memes, my favorite.
That would be... Yes. They were so ahead of their time.
And that's really what they were, though.
Yeah, they were great little comic strips that appeared in the New Yorker and some other places, just kind of making fun of
yes.
the well-to-do and but in
yeah,
a very
so they
dark
kind of took
way.
This
very fun.
This dark twist on it of being this family that they themselves are super dark and they're just completely don't care that everyone else thinks they're weird. Or whatnot, and that's what we see in the television show. The television show ran from not that long. You would think, based on you know the reruns you saw, maybe on what was that station? TV Land, and
yeah, TV Land.
Back in the day, that this was one
yeah.
that had many many seasons, but it only ran from 1964 to 1966, and then there was an animated version in 1973 and then another animated reboot TV series from 92 to 93 and then another one called The New Addams Family from 1998 to 1999 and then only as far as movies go there was The Addams Family and The Addams Family Values which was in 91 and 93 so definitely a very popular franchise and one that I think a lot of people are familiar with MGM owns the rights. And when I was looking at, you know, who created this and I saw MGM, you know, I at initial thought would have thought this was Illumination or Sony.
They had the rights to it at one point.
It looked like a Sony.
It was MGM.
Yeah. I definitely thought
Illumination actually had the rights to it. I believe it like they acquired the rights to it and they were like working on an animated film in around 2013, but it got canceled. That would have been an interesting movie.
Right. Yeah.
I think I would have enjoyed it a little more with the elimination.
It was just interesting because MGM is not a name that you think of when you think of animated film, you know, big studios nowadays. And this is one of their biggest properties that they still have a hold on. And so they decided the time was right. And good for them. They figured out how to make it on a measly budget, 10x their budget.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to make anything for that budget these days, even a live action. That's so an animated film, which is generally a lot more cost heavy. It's very impressive that they made it at this budget.
So this was actually animated by Cinesite Animation, and it was done up in Canada. So that's also might be a reason why.
Ooh, a Canadian film. Just kidding.
Well, I mean, their prices are lower, so.
Yeah. And cool. Mm-hmm. Kind of a, got a lot of stars in the cast. I did not detect Oscar Isaac.
I don't even know in who fact, Oscar Isaac is. Tell no, me, why should I know him? Who?
Poe Dameron. Poe Dameron from the new.
He was in Annihilation. Very much lesser Star Wars trilogy. He was in. He was in Ex Machina.
Inside Llewellyn Davis.
I think he's a.
Another film, another role you might not notice him in was X Men Apocalypse.
He was. He was one of those shocking celebrity transformations. I thought that this role was a little beneath him, but he was just fine as Gomez. Okay, so full disclosure, Mason had never seen anything related to the Addams Family before this film.
An Addams Family virgin?
I was a Munsters kid. The Munsters were more relatable.
Yes. But the Munsters was the off-brand Addams Family.
They were. Yes, they were. No. You're probably right, but it's kind of the same setup, you know. They're completely oblivious to quote unquote real society, like normal people. I was just more of a Munsters guy. I'm hoping just like the Megamind versus Minions or Megamind versus Despicable Me crossover that will never happen. Maybe someday we'll get a Munsters versus Addams Family. Hey, if the Addams Family can hang out with Scooby-Doo and the gang back when they did the new Scooby-Doo movies cartoon, then they can do that. So I didn't recognize Oscar Isaac until I looked it up. There's also Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, Charlie's Theron. I
did not recognize him at all.
Okay. Nick Kroll, of course, is recognizable everywhere he goes. Because he's as annoying as heck. Snoop Doggy Dog.
Why?
He was like,
why was that
barely
needed?
In the film? Hey, don't hate on Snoop Dogg. He's rolling with the general. Snoop Dogg is rolling with the general and doing like Lay's potato chips commercials with freaking Martha Stewart, then like, you know, he's fallen on tough times. He's like Nicolas Cage. He's gotta take these roles. And then Allison Janney is in it. I happen to love Allison Janney because I watch Mom religiously, which is like one of my favorite TV shows of all time. And do y'all watch Mom? Am I the only person who enjoys that sitcom?
No.
Am I the only person who still watches sitcoms with laugh tracks?
I don't watch it, but I do like Allison Janney.
Yeah, Allison Janney is an incredible, like, funny lady. And so I recognized her voice. And then I didn't really recognize anyone else except for maybe Bette Midler. I kind of liked the cast and stuff. I feel like they didn't try to flaunt the cast, you know, like hoodwinked, flaunted their cast. Cause that was like the only thing going for it. No, hoodwinked two Lost in New York. Just kidding. Yeah. I totally did not know anything regarding the Addams Family. My wife walked in several times while I was watching it on Hulu and was like, oh yeah, it's cousin It. I was like, who?
Ooh?
And and stuff. And I don't even know the Addams Family theme song. I was trying to sing along and I was like, yeah, they're kooky and they're vicious. They're kind of superstitious. They're magically delicious. They're after me. Lucky Charms. That's all I know of it.
Yeah, I mean, Finn Wolfhard, I completely didn't recognize. I mean, famous now for
Pugsley.
Yeah, Finn is famous now for It and Stranger Things.
Oh, that's right. He was in It also.
But I was listening. listening to his voice during the movie, and I was like, that voice does not fit a child. Like, it sounds like a grown man. And then I look it up, and he is the youngest member of the cast. Like, he is actually a child. But it was like, that sounds like a grown man's voice.
They should have cast
doing
the,
a child.
They should have cast the kid from Stranger Things, who's like the goofball, the like kid with the curly hair and the, like the lisp. They should have cast him as Pugsley.
That would be better. That would have been better.
Begin the long list of things that we suggest would make this film better.
Take notes, everyone.
There are so many things.
So we've established that I was, what did Morgan call me, an Addams Family virgin. But what about you, Annie? You have been a longtime fan of the Addams Family. So what did you think of it? What were your first impressions, I guess?
Very, very long time fan of the Addams Family. I mean, right off the bat, I did not see this in theaters. Because I immediately saw the first trailer and just went, no, they based the character design off of the original comic,
yeah.
Which I guess
not a fan
to a certain extent. I mean, to a certain extent, I appreciate the effort that was put into that, but they do not translate to 3D. Just the proportions and the design of the family.
They're too different from each other. Would you agree?
Yeah. It's rough, and like the fact that they do most of the other characters as like pretty normal 3D animated characters where they're a little bit exaggerated, a little different, but like the Addams Family's looks are so different that it's really unpleasing to the eye. I saw that in the trailers and just went, oh gosh, no, I don't, I don't like this. So I had never actually seen it before watching this last night. And I mean, it's different.
It's different.
It's different. I will say, I actually, my favorite part of the film overall had to be Oscar Isaac's voice, because I didn't recognize it was him. I just thought, that's somebody doing a pretty good Gomez Adams. Like,
okay, great.
I thought that he really like threw himself into the role, and it was not Oscar Isaac as Gomez Adams. It was just like, this is Gomez Adams. Whereas I could absolutely hear Charlize Theron as Morticia. I could hear her trying not to speak with a South African accent.
Oh, it's true. I actually heard she doesn't have she has a very much more proper accent in this film. Does she normally talk like that?
No, she has a full on South African accent. So like, it's a very proper, it's not British, but it almost sounds British to the ear.
Sure.
Where it's, and you can hear her trying not to speak that way.
Okay, so you thought that her voice in this film was very different from what she's normally supposed to be. Because remember, yes, I don't even know these characters.
How spot on was she with Morticia?
Not very spot on. Oh, okay. I mean, I don't think there can ever be a Morticia who's better than Angelica Houston. Angelica Houston played her in the live action films from the 90s. And I mean, that's just so natural, where it's more deep, more sultry. Whereas this one had like some kind of weird forced accent to it, where it was like trying to be an aristocratic accent.
She sounds like Grand Moff Tarkin from Star Wars, except female.
Yeah.
That's the kind of vibe I got.
It's a little strange. And then Chloe Grace Moritz, I like her, but you could just tell it was her talking very slowly.
Yeah, I had to turn the volume up. So this never happens in my house.
Yeah.
We turned the volume up on our LG smart TV to an unprecedented 31, whereas 30 is my cap. I usually do a round up and down to by fives. And that's kind of the threshold. We went to level 31, folks, on the volume. And I was like, man, I really hope that like an unexpected like jump scare noise doesn't happen, because the baby was sleeping right behind me. And she's, you know, as you know, a ticking time bomb. And but anyway, it worked out. We made it through it. But I wasn't like super impressed with the film. But as a horror fan, there were some like bits and like gags that I enjoyed. But yeah, it was. I imagine it was very difficult working with characters who were so different stylistically. I wonder if another studio had done it, if they would have just reimagined them. Like on the one hand, I always enjoy animated films when they like harken back to the, like, especially remakes and reboots when they like harken back to the source material. But I wonder if this one would have benefited from a complete overhaul of the designs to make them more coherent. I don't know, and some of the characters were just butt ugly. I'm sorry, and not in a good way, not in a Rango way, but in a like not appealing way.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've already done an animated, multiple animated versions of this done by Hanna-Barbera, where they translate the characters, but, you know, into like, these are humans and not cartoons, not like newspaper cartoons. So it was really unsettling, just especially compared to the rest of the world, the rest of the assimilation world, which is all very the same and all very like normal human.
Very on the nose commentary on
yeah,
on modern
and
life.
I mean going back to the voices, like Martin Short, Catherine O'Hara, and Titus Burgess are apparently in this movie. I had no idea.
Yeah,
I could not find their voices at all.
Yeah, sometimes they put people in just for their celebrity. Sometimes they bring celebrities in just because they're celebrities, and they're like, okay, you know, you are Nicolas Cage, you know, or, you know, you are, it, you know, it's basically this celebrity acting as this celebrity in this film, and it's supposed to be funny. And then other times, like in Oscar Isaac's case with Gomez in this film, they really transform into that character and kind of make it their own. And I feel like that was kind of a mix, you know? But it, yeah. I guess different celebrity talent are used for different reasons in movies and stuff.
Yeah, it felt like they wanted to use Oscar Isaac as his celebrity, but then he decided to pull a Benedict Cumberbatch in The Grinch and be like, no, I am a character.
Very nice.
I will not use my voice.
Can I
see if you can tell it is me?
Can I just bring... I got almost no marketing from this, maybe because I don't know where they what their target audience was, but apparently it wasn't me because I didn't see anything about this film. I just barely remembered, like, oh yeah, they made that as a family movie. So I'm looking on IMDb and they have all these like posters, and one of them's like Morticia, and it's a close up of her, and you know, rendering's pretty nice. And then it says like Straight Out of Coffin. I'm like, oh okay, that's nice. And then they do Pugsley, and it's like Pug Life. Okay, and then but they have these they have these hashtags down below. And it's like, man, were they really expecting these hashtags to go viral? Okay, like, hashtag Morticia, that's fine. Like, I get that. Then it's like, hashtag Pugsley. It's like, okay, a little more obscure. Then it's like, hashtag Cousin.
That's it. Like,
and then the next one is, from the grandma. She woke up like this, hashtag Grandma. It's like, are you really gonna think you're gonna take over the hashtag?
General hashtags like that for promotions of a film, not the way to go.
Like I get Uncle Lester who I'm gonna need an entire 10 minutes to talk about what I thought about Uncle Lester, but hashtag Uncle Fester, hashtag Wednesday, like
you know, every person on a Wednesday, that's almost like someone out there is gonna be doing that.
It's almost like you have
a
character.
I don't think they knew how hashtags work.
It's almost like you have a movie called, if they made a League of Legends movie, if they had hashtag LOL as their film hashtag, it's like. Anyway, so that's all I'm gonna say about that. Very very strange marketing, of course. But anyway, there's a few points in this film that I want to talk about, but I want to let y'all talk. I've been talking for a while.
Well, one thing that I got out of this was when of the Addams Family iterations, I actually remember more from the 1964 live action television TV series. We always watched, I mean, anytime that Saturday mornings after everything else was done, you'd always had those reruns pop up, you know? So I had, you know, a fairly good knowledge of all of the gags and things that came from that show. And so when I'm watching this, they basically picked out some of the best gags of the TV show and then just put them into this. So there was,
so you recognize some of the gags from the old
series. It's been 50 years, okay?
So
why
not? Recycling.
Yeah. Why waste time coming up with new gags?
Hey, like I said, I don't know anything about this franchise.
No, it is. And I get it. I mean, it's just, it's interesting. In my official Rotoscopers review of this one, I make the comment that it's like this family cannot stay out of popular culture. Like, we have to bring them back. So they just, like, recycle all of the old things for every new generation. You gotta know about the Addams Family. Come on now. So I don't know. So going into this, I felt like they did a decent job as far as refining like the best gags and being like, oh yeah, that gag. Oh yeah, that gag. Like where she goes and she she cuts the roses off at the very beginning. She cuts roses off of the stems, and she just walks out with her bouquet of stems. And then another big one was
the mom's ashes as eyeshadow and the dad's ashes as blush.
Yes,
nice.
Yes,
the mom's ashes as eyeshadow are, man, that's some glittery ashes.
Very sparkling.
I mean, get me some of that.
Oh yeah,
Ulta's gonna
I'm
get
sure
on
there
that,
was some
like,
sort of cross promotion where you could buy, you know, Morticia's mom as an eyeshadow palette.
Yeah. Maybe she had done it a little better.
That would have been because like Morticia and especially Wednesday, they're like pop culture icons, uh-huh. like for like girls who don't fit the mold, yeah. you know, who like appreciate that image. Mm-hmm. You know, especially in the live action movies, like I've seen like meme after meme about like Wednesday and stuff. So that actually would have been pretty cool if they had done like a makeup line. Like, I don't think Wednesday is really heavy on the makeup, but like a Morticia line would have been kind of cool.
That would have been cool. Yeah.
Official. I'm over here talking y'all, mm-hmm. talking to y'all about like makeup recommendations. Let's see. Googling official Adams Family makeup line.
Oh, so I have sort of a different take from you all. It's really interesting. We all have these different parts of the Addams Family that stand out to us or do not stand out in Mason's case, where I'm the one where mostly the 90s films are the ones that when I think of Addams Family, that's what I think of. I'm obviously very aware that it was a 60s TV show and had seen episodes, but it was never something that really attracted me too much. And the thing that I think is very interesting with this movie is that the Addams Family, for the most part, it was meant for adults. This wasn't ever like a kid's series or designated for kids. Yes, mm-hmm. they did have an animated series, but as far as the original 1960s and even the 90s version, I feel was still targeted to more of an older audience. And I didn't necessarily feel that way with this film. And so some of the jokes, it's just like, this is just a very black comedy. And I'm just not sure how it translated for more of a family friendly audience. The contrast was definitely there as I was watching it, but the 90s, that version with Christina Ricci as Wednesday will always stand out in my mind. But overall,
I would say she's the best Wednesday.
Christina Ricci.
Because her eyes are just so big and bug-eyed and perfect and meant to be Wednesday Addams.
This is true.
Yeah. She has the perfect delivery because so often in this film, it really just felt like she was just talking slow and her entire character was she was saying
just
things,
say it slow
but talking
and monotone,
really slow
and, that's
and monotone.
Yeah,
versus like Christina Ricci, where she really embodied the character, who is a lot deeper than just like I am an enthusiastic girl. Like she really does have a lot of character depth in the 90s films in particular. I think that those really explored Wednesday's character particularly. And I mean, going to another Addams Family rated thing that I don't think we touched on yet was the musical. The musical was focused. Oh yeah. The musical was very heavily focused on Wednesday. She was like the main character of that. It was her. And it was also pretty similar because the plot basically revolved around Wednesday mm-hmm. wanting to go out into the world. But that was done in such a more graceful and relevant way where you can actually see why her character wanted to leave versus just like, I see a balloon. I guess I should leave.
There's usually a murderous clown attached to these.
Yeah, like a balloon is like, this is an interesting balloon. I wonder what's outside. Whereas like in the musical, she meets a boy and it's like, mm-hmm. well, this boy is so lively and I want to know what his world mm-hmm. is like because I'm interested in him, which is a little bit problematic on its own, but it makes more sense as an actual character motivation.
Yeah, so they do actually a pretty good job at the very beginning of this film is setting up the character motivations and why they are the way they are. Particularly with mm-hmm. Gomez and Morticia. We were set up with their wedding, but then very quickly that everyone hates them and the mob rule is coming after them. And they just want to be left alone. They just want to be horrible and despicable in peace. And so they go and they find this place. And you can see that they don't want to fit in per se, but they just want a place where their family can just be at peace to do what they do, which is, you know, all this dark stuff. And so we see that they get that for the most part. And then that kicks off the different issues that each one of the individual family members have, which Pugsley, you know, he's not fitting in per se to the family role of what is required of an Adams. And then, yeah. And
oh,
then
yeah,
when,
that whole thing,
Wednesday,
the bar mitzvah for evil people, yes. For gothic people.
And Wednesday, hers is the Princess Jasmine syndrome, where she wants to leave the palace walls and get out of here, not realizing.
Or Rapunzel syndrome.
Right. Everything that the parents had done to mm-hmm. kind of keep them nestled away from the outside world because they're so horrible and they hate you. And so that kind of kicks off what are the different plot lines in this film. And I think they did a pretty good job at the beginning, but then it just, even then I wasn't totally invested in what I was watching.
Yeah.
I mean,
it took a while to get going for sure.
Yeah, well, a major issue that I had throughout the film was, like, when was this made? The references.
What? They got smartphones.
The
they got
and
LG TV.
Immediately, the first joke, everything that starts off the film, is a joke about the coconut.
With the lime in the coconut.
Yeah, what was... Was that a reference to like an earlier Addams Family thing, or was that just a random put the lime in the coconut reference?
It made no sense because they're all about everything dark, everything the opposite of what you would expect. And
that's
I don't
right.
expect the Addams Family to be sipping margaritas and the lime in the coconut. That's like a beach thing. That's a happy, sunny thing. So it just I felt like they just needed a joke just because. And so I had the same question as you. It was like, was this something that was in an initial, like, is this a famous reference or something? Because I didn't get
yes,
it.
the put the lime in the coconut episode from
you know, season 2, episode 3.
Yeah, it was so confusing and it was really off-putting because immediately I was like, when was this made in 2019, right? Like, this was made last year, and I mean, this comes off an album that was made in right. the late 60s, 70s. Like, this is not a relevant
it did,
reference.
It did make me want to go to one of the Margaritaville franchises.
Oh, never.
And go get some fried shrimp, man.
I'm always up for that.
I did go and get a foot-long margarita yeah. after I watched this movie.
She needed it that bad, guys.
I mean, I don't. We don't drink, but we still know the song because we're from Texas. So it's a fun time for us.
No, I walked wait, down and.
Okay, wait, hold on. Margaritaville or Bubba Gump Shrimp Company?
If
you're gonna go waste money at a vacation or like you know at Cancun or Galveston or something, would you go to Bubba Gump
Any
Shrimp
port.
Or would you go to Margaritaville? Okay,
Bubba Gump,
Margaritaville, easy. I don't actually like the music of Jimmy Buffett, but my husband is convinced that I am secretly a parrothead.
You gotta do it. Plus, you're from Texas. You know the song by heart. You might as well join
I
the fun. All right. Next nerdy couch discussion, we'll discuss where we get our fried shrimp, because that's a very important part of my life. Anyway, shrimp has nothing to do with this film. It wouldn't be an official Rotoscopers episode if I didn't take y'all on the ridiculous tangent.
Tangent time. Never need a reason. Never need a rhyme.
Am I the only person who thinks that not every reboot or remake of these classic franchises needs to be an origin story? Why can't they just have existed? Why can't we just establish what they're about? So TMNT, which was the grossly underrated Ninja Turtles CG movie from like 2004, 2005. I really like it because it doesn't try to tell an origin story. It just tells a new story based mm-hmm. on characters that we already know. But I don't know how many kids in this generation know about the Addams Family, so maybe it makes sense to have it an origin story.
Well, the thing is that like none of the other major adaptations, unless I'm like really missing an episode from the 60s show, like none of the others say where they're from. It's just, these are the Addams Family. This is who they are. You're interested.
Scoob did it too.
Yeah.
Well, the most recent Scooby-Doo, they did like an origin story mm-hmm. that was like, I don't care about this.
Right. And that was what made these things so classic, is that here's the setting. Here's the characters. Yeah, it's kind of weird. And here you go. Off we go. Accept it. And let's go and have fun with this.
Accept
but yeah,
it. Embrace it.
So, yeah, I think there is a lot of a lot of movies try to do this. I don't know why. Spider-Man, of course, is the ultimate, you know, always going back to the well of the origin story.
Yeah. Which, how is Spider-Man going to become Spider-Man this time?
It's like, we don't care. He's a superhero. Oh, they are creepy family. Great. Like, move on. So, yeah. Maybe they were hoping.
Creepy family, move on.
Come on. We probably all got him in our neighborhood. There's nothing to see here.
So quickly. Yeah, it was done so quickly, and there wasn't anything like particularly interesting. It was
New Jersey was a good touch, though.
A lime and the coconut. Yeah, that was the only time that I out and out laughed.
The only time.
We need to go to someplace horrible, terrible, uninhabitable. New nice. Jersey, and that was like that was my one genuine okay. That
good.
Got me.
That's good right there. Yeah,
yeah, good New Jersey yeah. humor.
New Jersey would be like the Stockdale, Texas of the rest of the United States. But anyway, yeah. So there are a couple of characters. Okay, so they're okay. Kind of what Morgan was saying, that the humor is traditionally more adult in the Addams Family. So there was a couple of things that I was like, whoa, they put that in there, like. I think at one point, Morticia's like adjusting Gomez's head with like a medieval torture device. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. because I'm a sick freak, I actually know what that torture device is and what it does if you tighten it like tight enough. And I'm like, man, that's a really morbid joke. It's like, kudos to them. And then like, there's this whole sequence that where if you objectively distill what Pugsley is trying to do throughout the first half of the film, like, 11-year-old child attempts to kill sister with throwing knife. Like, 11-year-old mm-hmm. child tries mm-hmm. to explode giant bomb on father. Like, it's like, and Gomez is just yeah. like mildly annoyed by it. It's like, so is Pugsley traditionally this like pyromaniac, like explosives expert? Like, or was that?
Yes.
Okay. So he's more of an inventor, like a tinkerer kid who likes to like. Try to murder his family?
Yeah, so, I mean, traditionally, both of the siblings are constantly trying to kill each other. Like, that's an ongoing joke through every Addams Family media that I've seen.
Okay.
The difference here was that it seemed really half-hearted. Like, they were like, okay, I guess we have to do this joke. But, like, it was not really very, very interesting or very well done, where it's just like, okay... throw knife, whereas in previous things, it's like Wednesdays we're going to play doctor, and she brings Pugsley up and she set up a giant electrocution chair, and it's like a much more like clever to show that these are actually smart children versus a girl who's apparently never been to school and a boy who is effectively
no, she
a
goes
dog.
To cage school.
Effectively a dog.
Yeah, she there was the quick scene about like luring him to his own grave and smacking him with a shovel, then he digs himself out, like no big deal and stuff. But
yeah.
I don't know. I happened to like Wednesday. She was probably my favorite character out of the film, and then way, way down at the bottom is Uncle Fester, and then somewhere in the middle is am I the only person that noticed I do believe Uncle Fester flashed a bunch of underage children in a park in this film.
Why, yes,
okay,
he did.
I was not the yes, only one who caught it.
Not cool.
There
yes.
you go.
He opens up cool. his coat like a flasher. Out comes a lot of bats. And then you
a lot
get
of bats, that's right.
You get a solid second where he is still opening his coat to all of the children, and there are no more bats.
Maybe he was wearing something underneath. We got to believe that. But it's like... it's like the language is like, I know what that joke is because I've seen that image, you know, in other jokes and stuff, like in popular culture. Like, maybe I'm being too uptight about it, but there was some stuff in this movie that was like, golly, I wonder if there was a lot of parents who were like, not my, you know, as a mother, no offense, mothers, were like, as a parent, I can't let my kid watch this because there are bombs and knives and stuff like that when... you know, the adult in me, it's just like, it's all in good fun. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I wonder if like people got like really offended by, oh yeah, the nooses on the pigtail, the noose braids. Like, I can see how that could be taken like as very offensive, especially like, you know, in 2020. But like, Was that like a thing? Does she always do? Does she always have the noose braids or?
No, the noose braids, no, but she always had braids.
Yeah, yeah. Occasionally anyway. In some of the original cartoons, but no, it's not like a thing that's closely associated with Wednesday, I wouldn't say.
Okay, well, anyway, there are some things I was like, man, wow, they actually put that in there. The family also has a Whomping Willow. I don't know what that's all about. So like, this is completely new to me. I'm like totally bewildered by this, by everything yeah. that's going on.
Just accept yeah. it.
Like, is Cousin It supposed to be that tiny? And speaking of
Cousin It is yes. usually portrayed as more of like a child-sized person than like...
Yeah, like... waist height type.
Yeah.
Hashtag cousin.
Hashtag cousin.
Yeah. More of a child than what looked like just a dog. I'm pretty sure that was just a dog coming out of a car. Like right. that.
Cousin
yeah.
It.
Cousin It was like calf height. It was like, he may go up to your knee. So it's like, it's very weird. And gosh, how much did they pay Snoop Dogg to...
Probably not a lot. I mean, if he's rolling, if they can get him to roll with the general, then, man, he's probably pennies on the dime, true. Pennies on the dollar, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess maybe they paid for his song and they threw in Snoop Dogg for free. Maybe that happened.
Well, he had to show up, like, one day, probably, and do his, like, gibberish lines or whatever, and then they're like, all right, see you later, one take, you're out of here. But anyway... So what did you think of that, like, the central conflict? So there's this, like, I love it, home and garden hag. And you've got Margot, I believe.
Garden.
Oh, that's right. You got Margot, right? That's her name?
Yeah.
And she wants to create, like so many animated film protagonists. She wants to create the perfect world. She would love Duloc. She'd be, like, hanging out with Lord Farquaad. And... she has this like surveillance state hooked up to like force this like community into this like weird homogenous community where
assimilation.
I love the song, yeah, Assimilationville or yeah, it was just literally called Assimilation, very on the nose. Mm-hmm. Also on the nose was like the like little song that the kids are singing in the park. It's like some of it was so funny. It was like, you can be happy if you're forced to be, or something like that. Who wants to be individual?
The best part is somebody wrote that song. Yeah. Like, that was their job, to write the assimilation song.
It's probably
song.
Tegan and Sarah, the same ones who did Everything is Awesome. Everything is Awesome is a little more subtle with its, like, core messaging. But, like, yeah, this one is very on the nose and stuff.
Oh, I like,
I just like the gag with the kid who's on her phone. And as soon as a door closes, she like does an about face and just turns the other way, like she's so trained to like be aware of like only what's in front of her so that she doesn't hit anything while she's on her phone. It's like some pretty good touches there. Like, you can tell the people understand like millennial culture.
Yeah, initially when that part came up, it, you know, it looked like a commercial. I didn't think it was going to continue. I thought we would go back to the Addams Family, and then it just kept going. I'm like, oh, okay, this is becoming a storyline. And I liked it because it really broke up the darkness and the macabre of the Addams Family with this perfect, you know, utopia place that they're trying to do with this plastic Barbie woman, Margot. And, her, you know, although her character was kind of flat at the end, you know, especially, and I, you know, I hate this when they just give a villain an easy out. Like, she was a horrible, horrible person where she was
destruction
spying,
of property,
destruction of property. She basically created
discrimination
lies.
And prejudice.
Yes. She created lies about the family.
Yeah. She basically went on like cartoon Reddit and like, or 4chan and just started a bunch of rumors and like
right.
mobilized everyone to like,
and no one. And people believed her like that. You know, this community isn't very smart. They are not critical thinkers. They just kind of accept what it is. And so at the very end,
I love
their
torch app, their mob app with the torches.
Neighborhood.
But at the end, you know, they send her away, I guess. And then she's accepted right away, you know, basically taken back into the fold because she's with one of the family members. Which one was it?
Uncle Fester.
Yeah, and she didn't have to pay for what she did. She wasn't exiled. It kind of actually bothered me because it was like, oh, you're such a bad person. Oh, the end. And here's all our morals that we're going to talk. Literally, we're going to tell you the moral of the story.
Oh, that's right. Wednesday literally tells us the moral of the story at the end of the film.
Oh, I was like, this is not good.
The morals and messaging throughout the whole thing are so heavy-handed. Like, it's just like, we are telling mm-hmm. you exactly what we are trying to tell mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no subtlety. There's no nothing to this. It's just like, the message of this movie is you should accept people even if they're a little different from you. Being the same isn't what you have to be.
You might also like Zootopia.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And Margot, at the end, like, I was shocked because I did actually genuinely fall asleep at the end of this movie. And I woke up and I was like, how long? Because I woke up and all of a sudden they're fixing the house. Mm-hmm. And I asked my husband, I was like, how long was I asleep for? And he was like, I know you were asleep. It's been maybe like 4 minutes. Like, it was a span of about 4 minutes that I just nodded off and went back. And yeah, it was generally about 4 minutes between when, oh, they're throwing boulders and destroying this house. And then, oh, they're all friends again and they're rebuilding the house. It's like, it happened so quick. There's no time to let it sink in. There was no people learning their lessons. It's just like, oh, they're a family just like us. Let us rebuild your house for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with Margot, I thought, so at the end, you know, she gets the news that her show is canceled and that it was live streamed the whole time, so her reputation is ruined. And then she also says to Uncle Fester that, oh, by the way, I'm going to go bankrupt. I have to sell these homes. How the heck am I going to sell all these homes? So I thought at that moment he was going to come up to her and say, hey, I'll take those off your hands and basically buy them for pennies on the dollar, where she's still, you know, financially destitute and she's having to pay for what she did. And then the Adams family, extended family, gets what they want, where they now have a home near the Adams home. But no, they assuming just pays full price and off we go. And things are fine. They're together now. Yay. Mm-hmm. New member of the family.
Great. Yeah, I'll be honest, like the whole section with her in it really brought out my like. My libertarian background of like, leave me alone type, like, let me do my thing and stay away from me. So it was just like going through, I was like, oh, I hate
protest.
It hit home for Chelsea.
It, it hit home. No, it did. No, it
Chelsea,
totally did.
Are you and your family the Adams family in this film?
If the Adams family were cowboys, yes.
Wasn't there also a cowboy show in the 60s? What was that called?
Beverly Hillbillies.
The Beverly Hillbillies. Yes, yes.
I mean, that one
too. Hillbillies, not cowboys. Totally. Don't get it twisted.
No, that's no offense. Completely. That's what came to mind when I was thinking about the 60s show.
If Chelsea's called herself a hillbilly, that's fine too. No judgment.
I mean... That's basically what I got out of this. It's like, okay, well, here we go.
Well, I think the message is kind of universal, you know, the whole like you like be accepting of people that are not quote unquote normal, because what if, you know, you could be the freaks to them, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah. that doesn't mean okay, the whole like the girl going like
goth
emo or goth. Mm-hmm. It's like the haircut does not the haircut is so like 2016 and afterwards that like because of the haircut, I'm not going to call her a true goth or a true emo. As a representative of the emo society of America, being one in high school, she's definitely not emo or goth. But yeah, she like changes and she wants to be kind of like them, you know. Mm-hmm. So she gets a gift card to Hot Topic, hikes it over there, and gets a new wardrobe. But
buys the Morticia palette.
I don't know. I haven't been to Hot Topic in so long. It's probably not even what it used to be. It used to be where you went to get like goth clothes that you didn't make yourself. Like if you wanted
Hot Topic, now where you go to buy specialty Funko Pops and Harry Potter merch.
Yeah, Harry Potter merch.
Okay,
it's so true. It's so true.
Harry Potter merch.
And J.K. Rowling's in hot water these days. So like, what are they going to do now? They're going to take her out. So it's just going to be Funko Pops.
Oh.
But anyway. So I think we can all relate to some degree, kind of like what Chelsea was saying, that we have been the Addams family. Like we have had our own culture and our own thing. Mm-hmm. And we've been, a lot of people relate to the experience of experiencing prejudice because you're just different, you know, whether, you know, whatever aspect of your identity. And like just being like cool with other people and like being okay with people that like don't fit the mold that like society or your community or whatever has like set. Like, I don't know. I think that's just a universal thing. I happened to, you know, dress all in black, and I had like greasy, spiky hair when I was in like high school and stuff. So I could relate somewhat in appearance to the Addams Family and stuff, but I always had to clean up for church, but hashtag cousin.
Yeah.
But I, yeah. Yeah, but they really hit you over the head with it.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, because I really did try to find some good things about this movie. It was very hard, but I did try. And I thought that the idea of what the villain was going to be, what the trouble was going to be, was interesting. Like, a person who is trying to make everybody be the same, trying to make this entire world, who's also like literally surveilling the entire world.
It's very sinister.
Big Brother watching over you. I thought that was interesting. It this, really felt
this
to me
person,
like,
we know that you sit on the toilet seat backwards. Well, where am I supposed to put my arms?
Or the girl who had the underwear in the freezer. Like, that was such a weirdo thing. I've never done it, but when she was explaining it, I was like, I live in Arizona. It gets to be 120 here. Yeah, go for it. That would be amazing. Do it.
you mean you've never been to a slumber party and one of the girls didn't steal your bra and throw it in the freezer overnight?
I haven't, though. Chelsea has an experience like that.
Oh, gosh.
We've opened a can of worms.
Maybe we don't want to know. After hours podcast.
But no, it felt like somebody at MGM thought, hey, I have a really good idea of how we could bring back the Addams Family. They came in with this pitch. We're going to bring back the Addams Family, but like the town underneath them is this like Stepford picture perfect town, and there's like a Big Brother watching over. Somebody went into an executive's office at MGM and pitched that, and they said, yes, great idea. Then they had nowhere to go after that. It was like, okay, we have our idea. We have something to renew this property, but it kind of fell off. Like, you have an idea, now what?
Yeah, it's hard to drive the story when you're only focused on gags, which I think this movie, like, it definitely like paused for a moment and was like, okay, I'm gonna let you finish, but first of all, we're gonna do this gag and it's gonna go on for a few minutes, you know, and then there's like moving the story forward in a clever, entertaining way. And
and there's what they did.
I don't know if they did it. There were a couple of moments that I really liked. I liked the Invasion of the Body Snatchers reference, where she like points at the popular girl and like hisses, and then the frogs go get her. I liked that. There were a couple of like horror movie references as a horror fan, I appreciated. But I don't know. My feelings on the film pretty much mirror like the critics. I don't think the critics really liked it. I usually don't care about them, but like, yeah, in this case, like, I was like, yeah, they make a lot of sense. Like, this kind of a disjointed mess.
Yeah. As a piece of adaptation, it was really bad.
What did Rotten Tomatoes rate it?
The Rotten Tomatoes, it's a 44% tomato meter, so it is rotten. And it says the Addams Family's starry voice cast and eye-catching animation aren't enough to outweigh its saccharine handling of its delightfully dark source material. So
they wanted to go darker.
That's the Addams Family brand.
I don't think
anybody on the writing staff actually knew what the Addams Family is. It's
Do you
like
think
they
I would have to look up the
they
writing
watched the movie show and picked out yeah they watched the TV show and the movies and picked out a few choice gags, because some of the gags, they're copied literally directly. Like, they're not new. It's these direct gags, and the ones that are newer, like Pugsley going off in this rocket ship, where it's like, where did he get this rocket ship that he's now flying around?
It's a cartoon,
this
mate.
Huge drawn out scene.
Yeah.
So the screenwriter is Matt Lieberman. He was
Matt Lieberman. If you're out there, Annie is calling you out. You're a fake. You're a phony.
Oh, no.
She is coming for you. How dare you? I'm going to start some
what
drama.
What do you know about the Addams Family?
It's interesting because
I have no understanding of
He actually was the screenwriter for the new Scoob, so it seems like he's been kind of slotted. Oh. Like, go watch these old shows. And
what do we even know about him? For all we know, he could be like our age and he actually grew up with that stuff.
No, we don't. We don't.
We're totally judging you.
Matt Lieberman, you're awesome, okay? You're making
movies. No, you suck. I'm just kidding.
If I'm judging by Scoob as well, I would say not that much.
What did you like better, Scoob or The Addams Family?
I didn't see Scoob.
Oh, God. I have to say Scoob just because I like the Addams Family as a property a lot more, and this one was more offensive to me. This one was more offensive to me is like I really do love the Addams Family,
and
it didn't hit the mark. Whereas Scooby-Doo, I loved Scooby-Doo as well. I used to make my own tapes of Scooby-Doo where I would dress up as Daphne and have my dad and family members dress up, and we would record our own Scooby-Doo episode.
Nice.
But like I wasn't as connected to that, so it was like, this isn't great, but I mean it's not so bad.
Okay,
maybe this just ain't it.
No, this just ain't it. I mean overall it just seemed like it was a bunch of unrelated gags put together with like the plot happening on a completely different plane. Mm-hmm. All of the plot happened in Assimilation, and then you go to the Addams Family and it's just
messing
gag,
around.
Gag, gag.
I do love the consistency in language, but minus the put the lime in the coconut, like stuff like don't forget to kick your father goodnight, you know, and stuff like that. It's like, is mm-hmm. it's like awful to meet you or something like that. Or it's like, is now a bad time? Yes, come on in. Or something, the worst, come on in.
Yeah, see, I enjoyed that a lot, but there were a few times where it wasn't consistent, where they did say like, oh, have a great time. And I was like, wait, are you in character? Or it just felt off. Because it seems like everything you expect, they were doing the opposite and it means the opposite to them. And there were a few times where they didn't do that. They said like a very positive thing and it kind of threw me out. I'm like, wait,
when they're trying to be real,
stick to the script.
I will say a lot of those were taken directly from other Addams Family media. I will say.
Interesting.
Why not?
Take your father goodnight. That's something that has appeared in multiple other Addams Family.
Oh, really? The classic
media. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So, I mean, it really did feel like a lot of gags put together, and then just some strange choices. Like, if you want some Addams lore, Aristotle the octopus, not Wednesday's pet, that's Pugsley's pet.
Oh, they call him Socrates, but, like, in this one.
Yeah. Oh, they did call him Socrates.
Maybe that's a comic thing.
Maybe, but no, in the comic, Aristotle the octopus was Pugsley's pet. Not Wednesdays, but now they've, I guess, changed his name, another philosopher, so it kind of skipped my brain. And then they made him Wednesday's pet and kind of, like, made him tiny, which didn't make sense either. And
They made him tiny, the biggest offense of them all.
Yes.
So.
And then they threw away the kitty cat character, like, featured him on all of the posters, but then it does nothing. The lion.
Throw the lion, right.
Oh. I always liked the lion. I was like, I want a lion.
Yeah.
Go get you one. Like, go head down to Florida. Oh, no, that's tigers. But they got lions. I bet they got lions.
I'm sure they can find something at their ranch.
Or Oklahoma.
That's right. What did y'all think about the end credits?
Oh, I hate the song. My husband is actually a pretty big rap fan, and he was like, oh, that's a, what did he say? He was like, that's a Cuervo lyric. Like, oh, he was jamming out to it next to me. Like, oh, that's a Cuervo lyric right here. It just turns into this like rap thing. And I was just like, no, I hate this. this is very unsettling.
Huh.
I found it interesting because, you know, they're obviously trying to cater to whatever demographic that they're trying to cater to. And apparently right now, instead of the R&B remix, they're
That's
going
right.
for the, like, the hip hop, like, mm-hmm. rap styles. So you're looking at most of the, I'm specifically thinking of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. You know, you had a lot of rap / urban, music that was sourced for that one.
But it went with the material.
It's like, okay,
We've gone full circle.
It totally goes with the material.
Yeah. I mean, Childish Gambino, like Donald Glover, was one of the voices in the film. So it made sense.
Yeah. So in this one, I feel like they were just trying to cater to that same demographic that would have liked that, but it didn't. It's going to age poorly.
As if the jokes didn't already. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. The jokes aged it before the film ever came out. I mean, my husband, other than his very insightful rap commentary, his number one comment for this film was, who was this made for? Like, who were they trying to attract with this film? Because, like, he is not super into animated movies. I just kind of drag him with me. And I mean, I thought the same thing, where it's like, this is, do kids like this? Is this a thing that the kids would enjoy? I don't know.
Kids these days.
It's been a while since I've been a nanny, and I don't know if, like, the kids I used to nanny for would enjoy this. If you
line up animated films from 2019 in front of a kid, they are not going to choose the Addams Family. They're going to go straight yeah. for Frozen 2 every time.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that could stop a kid from picking Frozen out of a lineup.
So, what would you guys rate this film?
I was going to rate it a 3-star. I was prepared to rate it 3 stars when I came into this, but after discussing it, I think I'm just going to do like 2.5, maybe. So, the animation does look like it, the quality of the rendering and the animation looks okay, but like the overall like quality of like the production of the image and stuff, it looks like something that was made 10 years ago. And like that shows from the budget and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My wife walked in the room, was like, this looks like it was made like a long time ago. Like the animation does not look good. And I don't know, they cut corners.
This is like a Tinkerbell level
ooh,
animation.
That's an insult
quality.
To Tinkerbell. Mm. Tinkerbell. Tink's gonna get you.
like what is it? Tinkerbell and the Never Beast.
Oh yeah, okay.
It's not that quality.
There was some cool like hair effects and stuff like on the grandma and stuff, but like I don't know, it looked kind of empty. It was empty, but it didn't hit that minimalist aesthetic like Despicable Me series could. But I don't know, man, it just didn't. I don't know. And then they probably cut corners with like Morticia doesn't have a walk cycle; she just kind of floats and swings her hips, and then her dress tendrils on the bottom just kind of, you know, on the floor. So I don't know. It looked cheap, like it was made cheap relative to other animated film budgets. So anyway, 2.5 stars, I suppose. Like some of it was fun, but a lot of it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would have to give it maybe 1.5. Like it was not good, man. I mean, as a piece of Addams Family media, it is straight at the bottom. Like as far as Addams Family media goes, this is the bottom of the bucket. But as far as an animated film on its own, it's just really not so great. There's nothing particularly good about the animation. There's nothing particularly good about the story. There's just nothing particularly good about it. Was it like a complete Mulan 2 dumpster fire? Not quite, but it was close. It was close.
What about you, Chelsea?
So looking back at my original review, the last thing that I said was not a whole lot of replay value, but I could probably watch it again and laugh. If you're looking for a giggle and a hefty helping of nostalgia, this will do. Having had a year to think about it and actually watch it again, I'm saying not a lot of replay value. And I didn't really laugh on the second watching because it was all things that I had expected before. And it was all things that I was like, oh yeah, that. And so I would say it didn't age well for me in that way. I would have given it maybe a 3 stars at the time. I'd say 2.5 for me now.
I'm going to give it 2.5 as well. I felt that this took a while to actually get going and get me invested. And the characters just were flat for me. Like these are really iconic characters. And I felt like Morticia, I couldn't really connect with her. And there just was nothing about her that excited me or got me, you know, wanting to know more about her and her family. And this is such an exciting, cool family with all these weird quirks. But yeah, the actual time that we were spent with the Addams, wasn't that great. And then you, on the flip side, you have this picture perfect assimilation town, and you know, that basically just everything they want to happen happens so quickly. The people turn into mob rule, like on a, like a light switch. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. they accept Margot, and like a light switch, they flip her back where she's accepted. There's no real like huge struggles that anyone has to really go through here, other than the big kill the beast moment with the mob, and you know, they have to save the mansion, and you know, that takes about 5 minutes. And yeah, it just, there were just a lot of different pieces they were trying to hit, and there was too much they were focusing on. So yeah, 2.5. It was just kind of all over the place. All right, let us know what your thoughts for this film were. Go to rotoscopers.com/191. That's where we have all the show notes, all the information, anything that we mentioned in this review, we will include there. But before we go, we want to do one of our favorite new segments of the show, which is Mason Reads Reviews. And today we have a 5-star review, and the voice that I have chosen, since this person didn't put a voice, so when you don't choose a voice, Morgan picks for you. And so the voice that he will be doing is Gaston.
Okay, let's see. Let me get into character. I will have Belle for my wife. Make no mistake about that. Okay. I've been listening to Chelsea, Mason, and Morgan since 2014. I've been such a supporter of the show since then and never subscribed, even during their hiatus. When my feed updated with new episodes, I was so excited. These three are such animation lovers, just like you and me. They keep the show light, high energy, and just pure fun. If you need some virtual friends to talk to, or listen rather, then these are your guys. This podcast is a must listen if you consider yourself an animation fan.
Yes.
Very good.
Blue heart of all.
I wish I could do a LeFou.
For next time, practice it.
Get your Josh Gad down. Josh Gad, voice of everything.
No, now. That's right. Put Josh Gad in everything. I will always be a OG LeFou. I didn't even watch the live action Beauty and the Beast. Y'all know how I feel about the live action remix.
We all feel the same way. And if you want to hear our thoughts on some of those live action remakes, that is actually one of the perks as being a patron, is that we review the films that don't necessarily fit the Animation Addicts podcast. So, for example, the live action remakes, we review those as perks for being a patron. So consider being a patron, rotoscopers.com/patron. And again, thank you so much, Annie, for joining along. This was a fantastic episode, and I love having
you.
I didn't even know that you were a resident Addams Family expert, but that made it even better.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us today.
So happy to be here.
All right, guys, that's all we have for this episode. So until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers.
We're your hosts. I'm Morgan Stradling.
I'm Chelsea Robson. Mason.
And I'm Mason Smith. and I'm Mason Smith. I said it, but my mic was muted. Hold on. Give me a couple seconds. I guess it's okay for me to have my camera on.
Oh, we're gonna turn it off once we get going.
Oh, okay. Well,
but you can't,
way ahead of you.
Sorry, I didn't. No, we said we don't want to see you.
That's all y'all get. You're only going to see me without my makeup for like 5 seconds.
Okay, so I'm going to turn my camera off.
Okay.
Wait, but it won't let me record.
It won't
learn
let
more
me.
About cameras. It won't let you turn yours off. It won't let me turn mine off.
All right, we are as we are.
Everyone else,
you're
can.
Stuck.
Was not planning on being on camera today.
Well, here we are. Let's just go for it.
Okay. And it is the voice of SpongeBob. So take
SpongeBob.
It away.
Hold on. I've been practicing Gaston all day.
Oh, the new Gaston. Really?
You changed it from Gaston to SpongeBob.
You're right. It was Gaston, but then I didn't know how
I can do a better
were.
Gaston than I can
okay,
do a SpongeBob.
Gaston. So, Annie, you say that too, and we just cobble it together after. Yeah.
Sounds good.
And your line is...
We are the Rotoscopers.
Perfect. You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag AnimationAddicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and interviews. Thanks for listening.